any day to Roy Wednesday night and a push of Richmond.
No, I can't do it. Right, don't know that one.
What is it? Hey, mate.
Fine. With no halachashib, just the weather was hot last week. Now it's gone slightly back to normal. But it was hot a few weeks ago. And you know, when it's hot, so we don't get jealous when people come back, join, and they go and they make a brachas koyma, and they go on, you know, they go on the airplane, they come back from holiday, and they go, it's, you know, when everything's leaning, and they come over, they make a bracha, that they went on the airplane, they came back, and they survived, right? For the Maisa, no one gets jealous. When it's raining, so, you know, people start thinking, yeah, they're really necessary to make that bracha, you know? So there does seem to be some machloi, because I was having a look in the poiskim over here, and it's very, very interesting, because I find that in every base of medrash, you know, we know there's no base of medrash, every base of medrash is machloikas. When it comes to this particular halacha, every single person you ask, they'll tell you, you should make a brocha. You shouldn't make a brocha. Only if you go over the ocean. Only if you go economy. Only if you go EasyJet. You know, it's unbelievable. You literally get all these different, like 50 different shitters of whether you should make a brocha or not. You get someone to moitzi you, don't get someone to moitzi you. It does work, it doesn't work. No idea. But at myself, had a look in the poiskim. And it's very there's quite a few shitters. There's quite a few opinions, and they're all overlapping slightly, and then overlapping in other areas. I'll just go through them quickly. The Goyim Brochas, I mean Nun Dalet, I mean basically brings down this four times when you say Brochas Goyimel. Now we know that one of them is traveling on through the Yom, traveling through the ocean, I assume on a boat, traveling in the desert when you get through the Midbar, again on some probably. On a wagon or walking or whatever else, recovering from an illness, and the other one is someone who was locked up and they got released from prison. Fine. So the shiner is in the poiskim straight away, and the Magen Avraham and the Prima Garden already have a bit of an argument here, whether this is a chiyuv or whether it's a rishus. Is this a bracha that you have to make? Like, you know, I was saved from danger, now I'm obligated to make a bracha. Or is it just a bracha that if I want to, I can make it, if I'm feeling in a good mood and I'm not in a rush to leave shul early. But l'maisa, do I have to make this bracha or not? So the Magen Avraham brings down, it's optional. He brings down a lot of these brachas of Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not feeling up to it, so you don't need to make them. The Prima Garden brings down this achiev. So this, it has a big nafka minna, because l'maisa, if you are obligated to say this bracha, then you need to go out of your way to say it. According to Magen Avraham, you could be meikul. I don't know if I should make a bracha or not. It's optional anyway. However, they bring down the poiskim, the chasosoif, and minchas yitzok, that lemaisa, regardless, even the Magen Avraham will tell you, you still make the bracha. He's just and you should got your way to make the bracha. It's just whether you're absolute chiyav or not. Now, the main machloikas for shoinim here in the sugya is it dafka these four? Then when the Gemara brings down that it's travelling through the ocean or the desert or recovering from an illness or getting out of prison, is it dafka those four? Or is it anything dangerous? It just happened to be in the time of Chazal that those four things were like the categories of danger. But nowadays, I don't know, you've got abducted by a UFO or whatever. Would that be considered to be dangerous enough to break Havokas HaGoyimel? Someone went to war, all of these things. Or do they know? If it doesn't fit into one of these categories, then it's not called dangerous. So, again, we have loads of shittas here. We'll start with the Rishonim, and we'll hopefully get the way all the way through the modern day Achronim as well. There's basically three shittas in the Rishonim. When they're talking about travel in general, they traveling, let's say in those times, obviously a bit more dangerous, a lot more dangerous. But they're talking about, you know, traveling from one side of the country to another, or whatever else. Rishonim talking about long distance journeys, love dafka through a desert or on an aeroplane, anything like that. Or they weren't aeroplanes, but love dafka through the desert or through the ocean. But the Rambam brings down over here that from a Yerushalmi, based on the Yerushalmi, that basically travel's dangerous. So when the Gemara says these four things, it doesn't mean dafka these four things. It means dangerous stuff.
Why is it Midbosh? Is it
travelling? Oh, it's a good
right.
Right. So he's going on the Yerushalmi, which seems to say it brings elsewhere that all roads are dangerous. You're right. Look, it's not mashma from the Bavli that way. But he basically brings down that these are just examples. The desert's dangerous because, you know, it's hot and there's no one there, there's no food. The ocean's obviously dangerous because, you know, how long can you swim for? And recovering from an illness and prison is also dangerous. So he's bringing down those are the categories, but even travelling a journey, a significant journey, would also warrant a brocha. Now, the Me'iri argues, very much argues, and he brings down, no, when it comes to travelling a journey, let's say in a car or a long distance journey, the only time you're going to make Hagoymel is if something dangerous happened, Chas Shalom, someone was in a crash, or something like that, right? So if these type of things happen, then you make a bracha. That's what the Yerushalmi means. When it says, you know, roads are dangerous and whatever else. And he basically brings down the Meiri that when the Gemara talks about making a bracha on travel, it's talking about Tefillas HaDerech. And it's not talking about Hagoyimel. And Hagoyimel is his own din. So basically, the two shittas in the Rishonim are the following. The Ramban brings down any travelling, significant travel you'd make Hagoyimel. Pretty much rejected by the other Rishonim. The Meiri brings down a kind of a more machmir in terms of not making the bracha. You only make it if something actually happened. For instance, if you went on a long distance travel and there was an accident or something like that, a serious, significant accident, and you survived, then that would warrant a bracha. Now we have a middle ground, which is the Talmudim of Rabbeinu Yoina. They kind of bring a middle ground. Their basic mahalach, and the Shulchan Aruch brings this as Ashkenazi minhag actually. Rabbeinu Yoina, the Talmudim, they bring down the middle ground is that if it's a dangerous route, so this road is known to be significantly dangerous. You know, this is like a road where, you know, people don't survive. You know, you did Silverstone, F1, and you haven't got a driving license. So it's not necessarily that it was an accident, but you drove through an area. I don't know how this would apply today. I don't know. I remember once we were in Eretz Yisrael going to the airport. I remember the taxi, the tyre blew, whatever it's called. And he started being very apologetic because he didn't have a spare tyre. And worse than that, he didn't even have anything. Nothing. And he was like, oh, I'm so sorry, it's my wife's fault. He's like, going on about his wife. I thought, oh, I can actually get to the airport on time. So I was okay. He's like, it's fine, someone will be here soon. So I look next to me and I remember it's got, you know, do not enter if you are a Jewish person, risk of life and blah, blah, blah. So I was thinking, boy, boy, boy. So I'm sitting, had we broken down, you know, 100 yards down there, maybe that would warrant a bracha, I don't know. But Lamaisa, according to the Talmud of Rabbeinu Yoina, they take the middle ground. If it's a dangerous route, even though nothing happened, you're still going to make a bracha. So in the Rishonim, you've got always make a bracha if it's a significant travel, because traveling is inherently dangerous. The Meiri brings down only if something actually happened. And Rabbeinu Yoina brings down that if it's a dangerous route, even if nothing happens. Is everyone with me so far?
Yes.
Okay, the Shaila is now where you put air travel. Where do you put air travel into this? So, again, so would you put it into, well, the Ramban's approach is traveling, basically, you always make a bracha. That's kind of rejected from the Rishonim. The Meiri's approach is that only if something happened. So, again, normally if something happens on an aeroplane, no one's making a goyimel, they might be making Shema Yisrael, right? And when it comes to the Talmud of Rabbeinu Yoina, so that would be a dangerous route. So you have to therefore justify and ask yourself, what is the probability of something actually happening, which we know is low. Now we know this, because if something does happen, the probability of someone dying is high, but the probability of something happening is low. Yeah, so we have to kind of weigh it up. It doesn't fit perfectly into any of these categories. Okay. So we've got basically about five approaches in the Acharonim, which I'm going to go through in about 5 minutes. So here we go. So first of all, if Solov Eitchik brings down the Brisker, I think this is the Brisker Mahalach. I mean, every Brisker you ask about anything, you get like 10 different approaches. But the Meiser, the Brisker Mahalach, I believe, is they don't make a Brisker on air travel unless something happened, something serious happened. So that is probably the Choyra going to fit into the Meiri's approach.
The most, even
we haven't mentioned the ocean yet, but Lamaisa, even if they go over the ocean, they don't seem to make a bracha because inherently air travel is safe. It's safe, and the Gemara was talking about stuff which was not safe. So now it's air travel safe. If something goes wrong and you survive, so then you go into the category of the Meiri, where something happened which is dangerous and you survive, so therefore you can make a bracha. But it's not about the ocean. It's not about aeroplanes. It's not about being 30,000 feet up in the air. It's nothing to do with that. It's just something dangerous happened.
Guys, it's safe or not safe.
No, if something happened, that was dangerous.
How do you know you don't make a bracha if it's safe? Because flying is safe.
Yeah.
You said flying is safe.
Well, I would guess the statistics would point to the fact that it's pretty safe.
Well, that doesn't happen on the road, then it isn't on the plane.
No, I mean, the fact that when an accident happens on an aeroplane, you hear about it, is because it's statistically, it's very, very safe.
More accidents happen while you're driving in the road than in the plane.
Of course. Yeah.
So there, it was normal to drive. Specific.
Yeah, no, 100% right. No, one, I'll go slowly here. One second, let me just if I didn't say something correctly. Since aeroplane travel is not one of the cases of the Gemara, yeah, okay, there weren't planes then. So that's a problem. And since it's safe statistically, so therefore, there's no bracha unless they're going to the Meiri they're going with, I guess, that something happens, then you'd make a bracha, the same way you'd make a bracha if you, chas v'shalom, were climbing a tree and you fell, whatever else, I would assume. Okay, Rav Moshe's approach is completely different. Very famous approach, Igros Moshe. And he had a whole new way of understanding this sugya. Rav Moshe brings down that the reason why you make a bracha on going through the ocean is completely different from the other conditions. Condition number one is if you're, if someone was in prison, well, why is that dangerous? Well, the people are dangerous. Okay. The second condition to making brisk oymel is someone who survived from an illness. Well, yeah, it's dangerous. It's a makom sakana. Fine. Going through the desert, well, that's dangerous because of circumstances. There's no food. There's no water. There's nothing else. But lemaisa, if you had those things, you'd probably be all right. So why are you making a bracha on a boat? So Rav Moshe seems to bring down that the reason why you make a bracha on going on a boat, going through the Yam, is because inherently it's not a place that humans can survive. It's not more than, yes, but even more than that, it's not a place where humans can survive. If you didn't have a kli right now holding you there, you'd be dead. How long can you swim for? 5, 10, 20 minutes, something, it's freezing cold. So lemaisa, that's the reason you make a bracha. Now you can get some, you know, some Russian yacht and go, true, it's safer than probably most people's houses, but that's not the point according to Moshe. The point is that if you're in a mokum, if you're in a place that inherently is life-threatening, and the only reason you're surviving this is because you're in something that's protecting you, that warrants a bracha zagoyma. And he learns that out from travelling on the oceans. Okay, it's a bit of a chiddush. It's a massive chiddush. Midbar, I don't know.
I can't survive in the midbar with nothing.
True, but no. But you, I think what he means
you're
is that
you're
on land. Yeah. You're on land. So you're right, the circumstances of the midbar are inherently dangerous. But the ocean is dangerous because it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You're just... It's not a place for humans. So therefore, how he would understand the midbar, it could be similar, I don't know exactly. Yeah, but when it comes to the oak, that's how he understands it. So he basically brings down that when you're in a car, someone's travelling a long distance. You drive, let's say you drive from, I don't know, from here to, Belgium, let's just say. Yeah? So it takes you, I don't know, a couple of days. I'm not sure exactly how long it takes, right? But lemaisa, you're in a car the whole time. The Channel Tunnel's a bit of a shiloh, right? But I'm saying, lemaisa, you're in a car, something happens, you pull over, you get out. So Moshe brings down, that's not the same as air travel. Air travel, inherently, you're in a place that you're not meant to be. You're in the sky. So he compares it more to being on the ocean, more so. Even though cars statistically break down more, yeah, nevertheless, if they do break down, normally you're going to be all right.
Some flight routes don't, if they go on certain routes, they would never land in the ocean.
When
they fly
so I'm going to get there, 1 second.
All right.
So I'm going to explain. That point exactly. A lot of people already bringing up the ocean. Rav Moshe's point has nothing to do with the ocean. His point is this: there's no shyness. Exactly. He's saying being in the air is the same as the ocean because you're not meant to be there. If the kli wasn't there, you're finished. So therefore, the boat wasn't there, you're finished. So therefore, he brings up that that's the comparison. Now, what's interesting here is someone once asked, I don't know if they're joking or not, but someone once told me they were on the London Eye, you know what it is, it goes round and round and round. So they said, oh, according to Rav Moshe, you should make a hagoyma because, you know, you're whatever it is, 100 feet in the air and you're going round on a thing, right? So interesting horror, right? But lemaisa, it's not true. And the reason it's probably not true is the following. The London Eye, or Ferris wheel, is a glorified building. It happens to be a building that moves, right? A bit like, you know, some of the schools, right? They move. Yeah. But lemaisa, it's still a building. You're still in a building. Chazal didn't say make a bracha in a building, right? An aeroplane is an aeroplane. It's not attached to the ground. So therefore, it's not about being high up. It's about being not supported by anything beneath you, which is not a normal way to be. Okay, fine. So according to Rav Moshe, whether you are going in a plane, above an ocean, or above a building, it wouldn't make any difference. Once you're going on air travel, you would make a goymel because it's comparable to the ocean. Yeah, the water doesn't come into it. According to the briskers, again, you're only going to make a bracha if something dangerous happened on the plane, and again, it's not going to make a difference if you went over land or went over water. Yeah, that's the two first approaches. Everyone's with me?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. The third approach is, we'll save the Aravaji for the end for the Sfarim, but Lamaisa, Rav Yashuv and Sitz Eliezer, they bring down the following. So they bring down, like you said, that since the Shas brings down dafka water, so they bring down, you should only make a brocha of Hagoymel if you travel over water. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yashiv and Zitz Eliezer, interesting, because the case would be that if you flew from, let's say, Manchester to London, there's no Hagoymel. But if you were to take the same flight route and go over the water, there would be Hagoymel, which again, according to what we've said, is not, in terms of Lumdus, is difficult to understand, but in terms of what the Gemara says, it's simple. You're going over water and there you're not. So Rabbi Yashiv Psak, often in Halacha, is very much according to what the Gemara says. Yeah, so, you know, the Gemara says this, you take this case. So that's how they understand it. There are some, I've seen it brought down quite a few points, that since there's so much back and forth when it comes to Hagoymel, there is an Indian to say it without Shein B'Malka. Some people say it without that. Some people get other people to moitzi them. Which is always interesting, getting someone to moitzi you in a brocha that you think they shouldn't be saying. But they're saying it anyway, so what difference does it make? Yeah, I'm saying... No! I don't know. But Shein B'Malka, that's brought down everywhere, yeah? What's the point? The point is... No, the point is that I want to give thanks to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I don't know what to do. I want to do it in public, but I don't want to make a brocha of a toddler. That's what some say. Some bring down yes, some bring down no. Fine. But getting someone to moitzi is very interesting. Because if you think about it, if you hold this brocha now, is not, you shouldn't be saying it. So tell him not to say it, right? So we have to say is something like, I hold, I don't know. Yeah? He obviously asked someone who does know. And I'll go with his rav, but not enough for me to say it myself, right? Yeah, you know what it is, yeah? Fine. So that many poys can bring down, if everyone's saying it in the shul anyway, get them to be moitzi you. Okay, but whatever. But of course, there are many poys can be bring down, as we've seen, that even for a flight, you could make it. Okay. The Minchas Yitzhak has a very, very, very interesting mahalach in Boyachas Goyim, which I don't think anyone else brings down. I don't think anyone goes with this at all. Very interesting. He says you can't make Boyachas Goyim on air travel because you put yourself into a makom sakana. He basically brings down the Gemara's cases of where you don't want to be there. Yeah, you find yourself in prison, you find yourself this, you find yourself that. He says, where are you going? Oh, we're going to Yerushalayim for a chasana, and we're going on El Al, and we've been upgraded. Yeah, come on. Yeah, so he says, once you put yourself into a makom sakana, once you put yourself into a place that's dangerous, lechatchila, you can't make a brocha. That's the what did we say? Yeah, same boat. That's what he brings down. That's it. Don't know. He's talking about air travel, and he brings down the Chazal. The same. But he's talking about air travel, and he's bringing down that since you put yourself there, so you can't put yourself there, and they go, Hashem, thank you for saving me. What are you talking about? Like, yeah, it's fine. But the point don't seem to go with that. Okay, the last one. So again, we've had the Briska Mahalach is not to say on air travel unless something happened. The Rav Moshe's approach is to always say it, because intrinsically air travel is dangerous, because if it wasn't there, boom. Yep. Rav Yashiv Zelez's approach is only over water, which I've heard many, 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 many times. The Minchas Yitzhak's approach is basically never, unless you are, because you're putting yourself in a makom sakana. I do think it's mashma that your wife, let's say, is forcing you to go on holiday, so you're not putting yourself in a makom sakana. She's forcing you to go, so maybe you'll be able to make a bracha. Okay, that's a shayla now for another day. Okay, there's one other approach. The Betzal HaChochma, some of the poskim can bring this down, but he brings down the following. He basically brings down that that it's very difficult to understand why there'll be any difference between making a brocha over land, making a brocha flying over water, flying over land, anything else. And he brings down that when the Shas is talking about these brochas, what it means is that you are mamish in the kishkas of the desert, you are mamish in the water, you are mamish in a makom sakana. And he basically brings down an aeroplane, you know, it's not so dangerous, and once you want to say the water yes and land no, he brings down the whole thing. It's very difficult to understand, because whether it chas v'shalom crashes here or it crashes there, no one's probably going to be surviving anyway. So since it's not one of the four that the Gemara brings, obviously, and since it's also not so clear whether you should only say it over water or over land, he brings down one that someone shouldn't say it. Fine. Okay. So that's basically all of the different shitters. Well. So I'm going to Rav Avadja now. That's all the main shitters. Rav Avadja, and you'll be at Omer, he brings down loads and loads and loads and all the different points. He can help me a lot this year. But Lemaisa, Rav Avadja's approach is completely different to the Sfardim. The brocha of Hagoymel he brings down is when someone travelled one parsa, which is, I think, is the same as Tefillah Derech. It's similar. So he brings down, even by Tefillah Derech, which is always the thing, when you say Tefillah Derech? When you say Tefillah Derech? The Sfardi approach is very simple. It's not about distance. It's about time. So once you've travelled 72 minutes, you'd make a brocha. And I always wonder what happens, you know, on that, what's it called, bury old road. And you're like, you know, with that bit when you have to come out and they're going both ways, and you're there for like 72 minutes, and you make sure there's a derech. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll help you get out quicker. But Lamaisa, Rav Adya brings down, if you're travelling for 72 minutes, you're going to make brochas hagoymel, whether you're in an aeroplane, whether it's land, whether it's ocean, first class, second class, whatever it is, economy, you're going to make a brocha, as long as you travel for 72 minutes. So again, we'll just wrap it up. Massive machlokes achronim. Rav Moshe is going to say always make it regardless of what you're travelling over. The briskers are going to say not unless something happened that was chas v'shalom dangerous. Rav Avadja is going to say always if you've travelled 72 minutes on the aeroplane. Rav Eliashiv and Rav Tzitzit Eliezer are going to bring down only over water. Minchas Yitzchak is going to bring down not if you're putting yourself in the makom sakana, therefore not. And the Pesedah Chochma is going to say also not because it's not in the shas. So what should you do? Lamaisa is if you don't have, you've got a minhag, go with the minhag. If you don't have a minhag, the best thing seems to be to get someone to moitzi you who does have a minhag or whose rav says it's okay. Yeah.
What about the doctor?